You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today! Fantasy Sports Radio Network! Alongside Matty Mo, Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. CP, the fantasy executive, has fatherly duties today, which means it's just us two. Jake Seeley will join us an hour early, hour number two today, to hang out. Hour number three, I'm still going away. Renato DeFino comes to the table for the first time on Fantasy Sports Today.
That should be fun.
That should be fun. That's what you call can't miss radio, I believe.
You really can't. I love the great Nando DeFino. I don't even know who's on who anymore in the NBA. It's like just a hotspot.
Well, all you have to do is think like, all right, who was on the Cavs yesterday? And they aren't on the Cavs anymore.
Well, LeBron was there yesterday. And he's
besides
still there today.
LeBron James.
That I know. That much I know. He's a hell of a GM, wheeling and dealing.
Really is. My favorite thing about this, Matt, is the reports that this is Dan Gilbert, like, taking back his team. Like, Dan Gilbert didn't care what LeBron said about these moves. He was making these moves. You think anybody believes that? I don't believe that.
Well, I don't know neither, you know. It's, it kind of set LeBron up to go to the Lakers. We talked about that yesterday.
Right, and that was only when you have one trade.
Yeah, and then, you know, all hell broke loose after that. I thought that might have been it, or maybe one minor thing, but I mean, we all think LeBron's a Laker, so Gilbert's got to get control of this, and he's looking to sell the team, right, too? So
that's the rumor, too. You know what? I don't know what to believe out there in Cleveland. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not. And that's kind of a situation we're in. And we're trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Does this help LeBron stay in Cleveland? Does it make him go away? People were tweeting after all these trades. We're going to go through them after the break. But people were tweeting about these trades that, like, the Cavaliers are now back to the favorites in the Eastern Conference. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah, I don't know. We got to see. Toronto's looking really good. The Celtics, it's going to be interesting. I think there is still blood in the water, and it's time to strike if you're one of these two teams.
Absolutely, and I totally agree. Trade deadline is gone. We did see Boston pick up a guy like Greg Monroe, who was released, and supposedly everyone's saying the buyout market should be pretty good this year. We'll see in the coming days, probably after the All-Star break, how good that buyout market is. And by buyout market, I mean some of these veterans that have just been cut by these losing teams that don't want their salaries anymore, and they just let them go to playoff teams. We'll see guys like that, Greg Monroe being the first obvious example. He heads from Phoenix out there and goes over to the Boston Celtics. Toronto really stood pat, although you had heard earlier in the morning they tried to get involved with DeAndre Jordan. That didn't work out. They didn't do anything. They're going with the team they have. Matt, I know you wanted them to go for it, but they're going to go for it with this team right here.
We the North.
we the North, for sure. We yeah. The North, for sure. All right, we can take a break. When we come back, what exactly did the Cavs do? Why did they do it? And, well, how do they look afterwards? Matt Modica and Greg Sussman, we break it down for you when we come back here on FST.
There's been no shortage of many legendary father-son teams in NASCAR. The Earnhardts, the Jarretts, the Petties, and now the Angles. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour continues the long-standing tradition of family and NASCAR racing. It features Hall of Famer Scott Angle and his son, five-time DraftKings tournament winner Sean Angle. They help you set the ideal DraftKings lineups with in-depth analysis and driver breakdowns. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour, Saturdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
FST Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Gentlemen, my gentlemen, just you and I today for the first hour. How about that?
Just the two of us building castles in the sky.
Just the two of us, just the two of us, you and I.
The end part's how I kind of remembered it, not the other part.
All right, so what the hell did the Cavs do yesterday? We talked about it a lot throughout the day here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, but this is the first chance Matt and I are sitting down to really break it down, just the two of us. The first move we talked about yesterday on the Roto Experts podcast, which you can listen to live or download wherever you download your podcast, certainly under Roto Experts, as always. But the Cavs got rid of Isaiah Thomas, and they bring in that deal, you bring in Jordan Clarkson, and you bring in Larry Nance Jr. You've got now about 24 hours to kind of let this dwell on you, try to figure out what your thoughts on this. So I want to get your opinion now on it.
Oh, it kind of seems like they tried to get as young as possible.
Okay.
Yet, with the other trades, add pieces that they need for this run, for this year with LeBron. LeBron somehow created his opening for L.A. And, they have to. The All-Star break's coming up next weekend. So, pretty much, you got to get this team to. They're going to have some time to try and gel, figure it out. They still have LeBron. So, having LeBron, you have a shot at winning it all. So hopefully these pieces can gel better than, say, Isaiah Thomas.
Sure. And I think that's the key, right? I was trying to explain this last night at dinner to, my girlfriend doesn't watch basketball. Football was good enough for me. She likes baseball. Super into football now. She can't do the basketball thing. It's too much. But I was explaining to her this Isaiah Thomas thing, and I realized the way to explain it was not that, Isaiah Thomas is a bad basketball player, because he's not. But he just did simply not fit with LeBron James. The attitude, the style, what he does best was not a fit for Cleveland. And Dan Gilbert rushed to make this trade to get rid of Kyrie. And instead of thinking of how the team could mesh, he got a player that was awesome last year. And it did not work. And I give Dan Gilbert and LeBron James and the puppet GM there, I give them credit for realizing this mistake and pulling the plug instead of continuing to spiral.
I'll agree that not all players are going to mesh, especially when you have somebody of LeBron's talent and caliber and all that he is, But LeBron's one of the reasons Kyrie left, because he knew what was going to happen. So credit to him. So I can't give LeBron too much credit on that. I give him credit, they realized this was not going to work. So let's make the move, let's get the hell out in front of this and do what we got to do to take one last run with LeBron. So on that point, I give him credit. They got some younger guys. They got some other guys that, can help this team, I think. So in that aspect, that's a win for them. But LeBron's been the one that's held this franchise hostage. He got them a championship, so, I don't think anything matters after that. It's Cleveland. They won a title. Cleveland don't have many titles besides that one.
No, they don't. And listen, I get it. LeBron can do no wrong. But what he's also doing is shaping, and Cleveland's doing, really, he's kind of shaping this thing up for the future. And with that, you're having younger players, and they're locking themselves into younger players. They're not just taking what they have for 1 year with LeBron or whatnot, they're locking in. Like, Jordan Clarkson is locked in. Rodney Hood is locked in. George Hill is locked in. This is their team, for better or worse, for the future, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's the flip side. They pretty much, they got a couple of younger players, but they got a couple of guys that are going to be here for the long haul. So, as you said, for better, for worse, at least they did something to at least make this push, this final push, possibly with LeBron, which I think is more inevitable than anything else, and give themselves a shot to win it. The roster that was currently constructed was not going to do it.
No, it wasn't. And as many of us thought that ultimately they'd figure it out, and I was in that camp, that all of a sudden they're going to go on some run, and by April, when the playoffs started, they would figure it out. I think it was clear to everyone they weren't. Like, how many years in a row, Matt? How many times in a row have we heard that Kevin Love is the biggest issue? He's going to be traded. This is the end of Kevin Love in Cleveland. And he still stayed around. Yeah. Like, he never got traded anywhere. And I think the reason, because they all knew that Kevin Love helped this team more than it hurt this team. That clearly wasn't the case with not just Isaiah Thomas, who they brought in, but with Jay Crowder also. Like, Jay Crowder was an awesome player in Dallas. He was awesome in Boston. Brad Stevens continues to get the best out of the talent that he has. And he's fantastic with it. But it did not work. It just did not work in Cleveland. They cut bait. They gave Isaiah Thomas 15 games. 15 games. And they realized, oh, no, this is terrible.
But it was evident that LeBron was no fan of Isaiah. It was never going to work. And even you might want to say it was minor, but I think it was more glaring. When they did the celebration, he wanted like no part of Isaiah Thomas the other night. And that pretty much encapsulated everything. That one little shot was basically, this guy is not a member of our team. We don't want him here. And he was jettisoned.
And that was it. Now, Isaiah Thomas heads on over, and the biggest deal of the day for sure, heads on over to the Lakers. And the crazy thing is, he doesn't want to come off the bench. He's going to be a free agent after this year, right? He wants to try to build back his value. He was in line for this massive, massive contract. He gets hurt. His reputation gets soiled. And now he goes to L.A., where, let's be honest, Matt, the Lakers don't want him. They want the contract. They don't want him. He's not in their future plans. So they have zero incentive to do anything with him. Maybe they buy him out and he goes back to Boston or something crazy like that. Goes to Washington to back up John Wall. But that doesn't even make sense because he doesn't want to come off the bench. The Lakers are in a development mode. They want to develop Brandon Ingram. They want to develop Lonzo Ball when he gets healthy. They want to develop Josh Hart. This is their team. Isaiah Thomas is not part of this future, which means Isaiah Thomas is going to be damn miserable in L.A.
He's going to be miserable, but he's going to be getting paid. So, you know, if you're a professional, you do. And he also has to be looking at it as miserable as he's going to be. You might want to fix yourself up for free agency. You don't want to be, like, considered this cancer on a team. You want to do a PR stunt for the remainder of the season. You know, all is good. It's not me. It was them kind of thing. Just go out there. Collect your checks. Play the game, and next year you go wherever.
He has that ability, but is his reputation soiled enough where he just can't go wherever anymore?
There's going to be a team. There's going to be teams. There's always somebody that's going to, you know, say, hey, the talent's there. We need him. We could change him. You know, you could change that person. They're in a relationship. I could change. You could change. We all could change. So
I could change. You could change. We all could change. Speaking of change, we're still waiting for Mr. Bodega to quit his cigarette. So there you go.
Yes, that we are. We'll see what the wife says today when she gets home.
Well, we all can change, though. We all can change. Just as the Cavs changed in season, I find the George Hill acquisition extremely interesting. We're going to talk about that with Maria Marino coming up a little bit later on. But the George Hill one is extremely interesting to me because he was a stupid signing by the Kings this offseason. De'Aaron Fox was like the future. They signed him to a big contract. And now he's locked in as the point guard, I would say, in Cleveland. And as I just mentioned, they are not renting George Hill, the veteran. I mean, he's the point guard of the future, quote unquote, for Cleveland.
Yep, they're not getting any younger with this
George
acquisition.
Hill. Yeah,
with this acquisition. But they were kind of boxed in certain situations. They were able to get a couple of players that were young. But they had to make some, you know, I look at it as when you get rid of guys that were, they did get rid of some old guys too. So, I mean,
They got much younger, more athletic.
So,
sure.
I mean, even though he's a veteran, not the youngest guy in the league, it's not like you have breaking down old players neither. So,
100%.
Now, I'm looking at the, you know, half the glass of hip.
Listen, ball. George Hill is 31 years old, right? He's not 35 or anything like that. George Hill is 31 years old. And he's always been known as a good defender. He's not exactly Mr. Offensive, but he's a good defender. He can score the basketball. He had some success in Indiana and Utah specifically. And I believe that the Cavs felt this is the kind of player they needed. And it was clear they needed athletic dudes off the bench, which is why they acquired Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson. But in the starting lineup, they needed more unselfishness. They needed a true point guard. And while Kyrie Irving was okay being that and also being, you know, a budding superstar in his own right, George Hill doesn't care about that. George Hill is going to pass the basketball, let LeBron do his thing, and he's a good defender. And I think that is the goal here, to just get better at defense and be...
Defense wins.
Defense wins championship and also better team mentality, which is what supposedly all these guys have in common. Good team mentality. Cavs are a brand new team today compared to where they were yesterday. We'll talk more about the NBA. There was more moves other than the Cavs. With Maria Marino coming up on in a little bit. When we come back, more from Matt Wodica and Greg Sussman. FST on FNTSY.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Here on FST Fantasy Sports Today. Oh, I was waiting for the drop there. I was like, oh, is it coming? Did they shut it off? So, coming out later on, hour number two, just so you, just everyone understands the schedule for today.
Is it a big button and smile?
Yeah, of course. Besides that, we're going to get some baseball. I know J.E. Jakey's going to be joining us. We're going to do some baseball with that. Is Mike Lyon coming up in the noon hour today for the Roto Experts podcast? That's what we're going to do is Mike Lyons. We have baseball coming up next hour. I want to get into some Olympics with Jake as well. Yesterday, we had the opening ceremonies took place, I guess, this overnight probably. It will air tonight in primetime for us on NBC. We had some figure skating yesterday, as Matt had pointed out to me, and it was the debut of Nathan Chan, which I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, I don't think that went too well.
It didn't go as well as it could have.
But I had it on. I wasn't watching everything. But
you know what? You know what? We don't need Jake for this. Let's just you and I talk about some Olympics.
Let's go. So, after Itania, I'm kind of like a figure skating
expert. He's a figure skating buff now. This is what it is. All right. Of course, all of our Olympics conversation is presented to you by DKMS. Go to DKMS.org right now because we're hoping that... we're hoping that you'll consider becoming a bone marrow donor. You sign up for the list. It takes a small amount of time to try, right? Like, swab your cheeks, get on, see if you're a match for somebody. And if you're not, you're not. But if you are, you can help save somebody's life. In this time of the Olympics, the world comes together to compete. But again, we're all together on the world stage. The theme, as I read, of the opening ceremonies, which again air tonight, was this like unification of some sort of North Korea and South Korea, which sounds crazy to me. But if they can like walk down an aisle together, we can certainly help others around the world with becoming a bone marrow donors and trying to save lives. I don't mean saving lives using any hyperbole anyway. In any way, it's true. You're saving somebody's life by donating your bone marrow. It doesn't hurt. It's not hard. It's quite simple, in fact. Please. Go for more information to DKMS.org right now. The Olympic ceremony, opening ceremonies took place. We haven't seen them yet because they're going to air tonight, primetime, on NBC. But there's some events that happened before that, including a little team figure skating. Now, team figure skating came to the Olympics for the first time 4 years ago in Sochi. And it's back again, and it features one of our biggest stars, evidently, making his Olympics debut, and that's Nathan Chan.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe had, you know, opening night jitters and stuff like that first time he hit Olympic ice. It wasn't just Nathan Chen, though. I saw a lot of people hitting the ice, falling, and, you know, not making landings. So it was kind of an ugly night on the ice. Maybe, like I'm saying, maybe it's like just that first time for these people getting on the Olympic stage and getting the jitters. Maybe it's the best thing for, like, even Nathan Chen. Of course, I mean, I'm sure they want to win the team gold, but deep down inside, he wants to win the individual.
Yeah, no, certainly. Listen, this is the first event. Maybe get those jitters out quickly, right? Get those jitters out now in the team event where what happened is Matt kind of, you know, glossed over here. Everything was going fine. He's doing nice and smooth. He attempts that Tonya Harding triple axel.
Only Tonya can do that.
Only Tonya can do that. It didn't go as well as anticipated.
No, that it did not. Is the Israeli team in the lead or something like that, I believe? They were one of the top.
The Canadians are in the league, I believe, yes.
I know the Korean team did well, but I was told they don't have the depth to really compete.
So right now, after day one, I'll read you the results. I have them here right in front of me. So it's a team event. What does that mean? Yes, you have your men's singles, of course, and your women's singles, but you have also a men's short program, a women's short program. You have a pair short program. All these short programs together form one loving team. So Nathan Jan took part in the men's team edition of the short program. And for Chan, again, he was one. Nathan Chan, excuse me. Chan is the Canadian. Patrick Chan. Very confusing. But Nathan Chan took part in his Olympic debut. Dude's 18 years old. And as Matt said, it just didn't go great. Finished in fourth place. In front of him was the Canadian Patrick Chan, the Japanese skater Shomo Uno, and then the Israeli, as Matt alluded to, finished second in the men's short program. That was Alexei Biachenko, which sounds Russian, not Israeli, but Israeli nonetheless.
I wonder if Scott said if he's going to buy an Israeli hat like with the baseball team. He said that, but never did.
As Matt said, the pair short program, South Koreans, they started off, pretty well, but the French, oh, this is cool. So the French, who were terrible in the men's short program, skated to Ed Sheeran's Make It Rain. Huh. How about that?
Yeah, there was a comment that, at least they had Ed Sheeran behind them or something like that, and I was like, oh, God.
The Russian athletes who participate on what team, Matt?
The Olympic Athletes of Russia.
There you go. OAR of a revolution. Are you an OAR fan? Not the Olympic Athletes of Russia. OAR, the band. Do you know who they are?
What do they sing?
Bavona, that's going to be on you, by the way. An OAR song, please. Finally, this SB Nation, finally the Russian athletes closed out the night. It was flawless. They blew past the Canadians and the team pair, and they won that. So team standings after day one, Canada, number one. U.S. number two, Japan three, and the OAR number four, the Israelis number five.
I mean, all things considered, like if you watched it and you heard like how bad Nathan Chen did, you would think the USA had like no shot, but the second.
He was in fourth. It wasn't like he gave it last.
I know, but it was, I guess the expectations were so high. Maybe it was more of that.
I agree.
And the performance was not, but look, I like when people go for the difficult stuff. And really take that risk. It's not always going to work out.
Yep.
But, shout out for at least doing that. Because if you would have hit it, it would have been tremendous.
Okay. So, the Olympic ceremony, opening ceremonies, took place this morning, our time. A couple, few hours ago, our time. And world lit up, of course, all in South Korea, which is wonderful. And are you an opening ceremonies guy?
Usually I'll watch them with the wife or something.
He
like
will.
That. I'll have it on. I do enjoy it.
You said you're an Olympic guy.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. I think it's perfectly spaced out now. I really like the format. 2 years in the winter, two in the summer. So it's just not like you get overdone with it. It's not like it's gone too, it's not too far in between. I thought it was interesting. The president of South Korea and Kim Jong-un's sister, was it? Shook hands or something like that?
Yeah,
look.
I don't even know what that was.
Somebody's bringing the world together. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, at least they're going to march tonight under one Korea.
That's pretty cool, right? Well, they marched this morning under one Korea.
This morning.
That's pretty cool.
For the viewers tonight.
For the viewers tonight like you. It's a Friday night. I don't know that
it's usually Friday night, though.
It is, for sure. I agree that, the Olympics in general are fantastic family-oriented programming. And, it is nice to see all of these, the world come together on one stage. I think that's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, if you're home, family thing, even if you had a bar and it's on, on a TV in the background, you really don't need to hear, you know, the voice being muted is not really taking it. There's some good stories.
So you're saying you don't need Katie Couric?
No.
Okay.
I'm happy Bob
Acosta is not there. Okay. Are you excited for Mike Tirico?
Yeah, he's awesome, Tirico.
You like Tirico?
I am a Tirico fan.
All right. What are your thoughts on the shirtless Tongan?
That I'm not sure. Who was
the shirtless Tongan? He was this dude for the Summer Olympics. He was Tongan, and he became the star of the opening ceremonies. He's all oiled up. Remember this dude, all oiled up for the Summer Olympics, walking in the opening ceremonies. No, you don't remember that? The opening ceremonies guy.
Yeah, I'm sure I watched it. I'm trying to remember, dude.
All right, hold on. I'll show it to you. Here you go. Tongan Summer Olympics.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
All right, this guy. Remember him? You seen him? He's just shirtless, oiled up.
Is that like a young Antonio Sabato Jr. or something?
I don't think so. But anyway, it was one of these dudes that broke the internet because of he's a good-looking guy, all oiled up, carrying the flag of the nation of Tonga. Okay, did I fresh memory at all?
Yes, it did. I do remember it vaguely.
You know this dude also qualified for the Winter Olympics for Tonga.
Now, what is he doing in the Winter Olympics?
I don't know what he does.
What did he do in the Summer Olympics?
I don't know, besides carry the flag. So he went to Korea, and this morning, which you'll air tonight so you can see it.
He better have been shirtless.
Shirtless carrying the Tonga flag again!
There you go.
Is that amazing? It doesn't matter!
Well, I mean, look, there are NFL fans that are in, like, Green Bay with shirtless.
Sure.
So,
but I think it's amazing. This dude, forget that. He qualified for the Winter and the Summer Olympics.
Is he their only athlete?
He might be.
He might be.
He not only is shirtless, his Olympics, in Summer Olympics, he participated in Taekwondo. The Winter Olympics, he is a cross-country skier.
Well, good for him.
He's the only Tongan in this year's Olympic Games and the first Tongan in history to appear in both the Winter and Summer Olympics.
That's awesome. You know, maybe we get like the Jamaican bobsled movie. Remember that?
I hope there's a movie on this guy.
Who was that? Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings was fantastic. Great film. Great, great film.
Oh, it was great. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was awesome. So maybe it'll be a film on the topless Tongan. Probably a better name than just topless Tongan. But the important thing here, Olympics begin. Whole lot of coverage, of course, over the weekend. We'll get you back on Monday with another Olympic recap. Go over the weekend. I'm sure Matt will watch a ton of Olympics. He's super into it. Corey, probably not so much. Okay. Remember, DKMS.org is where you have to go to check out the what it takes to become a bone marrow donor. It's extremely, extremely important. With the Olympics going on, we are, as a world, we're a community. We're a world community, and ultimately, we have to help each other. If I do that, you go to DKMS.org, you sign up, and you join the list. DKMS.org, the website to go to. When we come back, it's time for Gucci to get paid. We'll talk about it next.
There's heroes and there's legends.
To the followers of his fantasy advice, he is known as the king. To the fantasy sports industry, he's a respected colleague and a friend. And as a representative of the FSWA Hall of Fame, it's his royal responsibility to share his stories of fantasy sports glory with the world. On the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour, Scott the King takes his throne with celebrities, athletes, and like-minded legends of the industry. Together, they share stories of how fantasy sports changed their lives and give advice to you so you can be on your way to creating your own fantasy legacy. Listen to the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour by going to fntsy.com/radio and listen to all of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's award-winning programming for free in the iTunes and Google Play stores. Fantasy legends are made only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
Hello, and welcome back into Studio 34, Fantasy Sports Network, FST Fantasy Sports Today. This is Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. And in the midst of all of this NBA trade talk, all of this nonsense yesterday, there's the one tweet that just kind of slipped in on the wire.
Jesus got paid.
Jimmy G, the Gucci Mane, got paid $137.5 million. The largest per year on average contract in NFL history.
That's the headline. But he was going to get $20 million, right? He was basically, he was going to make that this season. He was en route to a 20. So sure. It's the fact that they went ahead, made him the highest paid. Look, the Niners, it's a great trade for them. It really is. They got themselves a franchise quarterback, giving up a second round pick. And where are the Niners picking? They're
in the middle of the pack now.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, it looked like an early second rounder.
Not so much anymore.
Yeah, not so much anymore as they did very well to close out this
season.
They
have the ninth pick now.
That's what I thought. The ninth pick.
Yeah.
So you're looking at like the 41st pick in the draft. So, I mean, for the 41st pick in the draft, you're getting yourself a franchise quarterback. They made a great trade, you know, unbeknownst to them that the Bears were going to come calling and help them out. So this is a team that, you know, they're there. I don't see Carlos Hyde coming back. I think that's a mistake. I like Carlos Hyde, but it just doesn't seem like a fit. There was so much talk from, you know, that bogus report we heard last summer about him possibly getting cut, but there was always rumblings. Never seemed like Shanahan's guy. So somebody is going to think Carlos Hyde is their guy, and he's going to end up. I think the Giants would be an excellent fit for him. So what running back will they go with? Berade, I don't really know what I think about him. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I would like a Jarek McKinnon type kind of guy, you know, maybe. I don't know, but Jarek McKinnon seems like he wants to
be the man.
He wants to be the man.
And
when you want to be the man, that means you want to get paid as well. That's why he wants to be the man.
Because,
you know, if you're just a complimentary piece, you're not going to get paid as well.
Of course. So with all that being said, Gucci gets, like I said, $137.5 million. And in order to properly assess that, I don't think you and I do it justice, Matt. I think, you know, you and I can analyze it very, very well, of course. But there's one guy that happens to be in the building today that I think it's important to hear from when it comes to this.
He is one of the apostles of Jimmy G.
He is. With that, I want to hand the mic off to our buddy Chris Venture downstairs, doing a fantastic job working production with us. Chris Venture, you are Mr. Gucci G, and now your boy got paid $137.5 million.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I'm so happy about it. So happy. But, you know, here's the thing, though. It seemed, yes, it's the biggest deal, but it's just going to get surpassed when these other quarterbacks get their big deals, and, you know, it's going to get overlooked after that. But still, it set the market.
It does. He's right. Kirk Cousins, whenever he signs, he's going to get more per year in total than Jimmy G. But this is a dude that got paid for 7 starts in his career, the highest paid quarterback in the history of the NFL.
You can make the argument that Joe Flacco got all that money because of that playoff run, which he was great in that playoff. He was fantastic, but Joe Flacco is not elite. He did win, you know,
won a Super Bowl. It's all you ever ask from your quarterback. He won a Super Bowl, whatever. Jimmy G, 7 games, Ventura, 7 games.
Gucci, how about this? I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What would happen, let's say Garoppolo didn't get traded and stayed on the Patriots? What does he get paid? Where does he go now?
See, he would have got a franchise, and that's the whole thing. They would have tied up like $30 million in 2 quarterbacks.
With Gucci getting more than Brady.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Like, the thing isn't that Gucci's getting $27 million a year, whatever that works out annually. He was going to get like at least $20 million, I believe. So he set the market now. He got $137 million. Good for him. Look, he got traded. He got put in on a terrible team. They won games. He's actually never lost a game yet as a starter. So, you know what? Right place, right time. And look, 49er fans are through the roof with this guy.
Amazing.
So, and
as, but like, it's as also like rightfully so, right? Like, he came into a team, Chris, that was so pitiful to watch, and he comes in and just starts slinging it.
Yeah, right away. He scores a touchdown on the end of the game. I think it was like a minute left. And it's just, and the 49ers, once again, they might have another franchise quarterback that brings them championships again. And, you know, I kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm envious towards the 49ers a little bit as a Giant fan, because I know they've had some bad years recently, but they always have these good years in between. They had good years with Jeff Garcia. They had good years with Colin Kaepernick. Now they got this guy. I honestly think it was still, even still, I love Gucci, but I think that was too much. What is it, $27.5 million a year? I think that's still a little too much for a guy who had seven starts in his career.
But it's the market. He was gonna get paid. He was going to get paid
right.
Whatever team he was on. And, you know, they had to lock him up, and they did. That's pretty much what it was.
To answer Chris's question, this is literally the best thing that ever could have happened to him, right? Like, ever could have happened to him.
Oh, it was a perfect, everything that happened. Look, the quarterback before him was C.J. Beathard, or as I say, Beathard.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and then you put in Garoppolo, and look, Marcus Goodwin had a great year, but look, this is Marcus Goodwin. He didn't have his receivers. Carlos Hyde was not being used in the passing game. He was just pretty much became a runner at that point, which, right. You know, Jimmy G wants to, you know.
Sure.
That's not Jimmy G's game.
No.
Jimmy G don't play that.
But look at what Goodwin did once Garoppolo came in.
No, that's
huge difference.
But that's my point. Yeah. Jimmy G is elevating him to that. Now you put in, say you put a Sammy Watkins with a Jimmy Garoppolo. Sammy Watkins, who went in the sixth round of trendsetters, by the way.
Sure.
or an Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson, yes. You get one of these guys that can, you know. Like I said, Goodwin is a good piece to have on this team, but you got like a true number one.
Sure, sure.
There.
Allen Robinson is venture mentioned.
A tight end. Say you get like a Trey Burton, who's a free agent.
Yeah.
Or some. I'm trying to think of tight ends off the top of my head that are like free agents right now, but it's not coming to me. But I do know Trey Burton is. So whatever.
Marquise Lee is another wide receiver out there.
Yeah, there's going to be options. So this team is not far. Is not far off. There really isn't.
And what about the D? I mean, you know,
we have people laughing down there at you, Chris Ventura. What is going on?
I don't know.
Get some more out of here, Ventura.
But the D, was it Reuben Foster, the middle linebacker that they drafted? He got hurt, but he looked really promising when he played early on.
Yeah, they got two good defenders in that first round.
Solomon Thomas as well.
Yeah.
So that comes to mind. Chris Ventura, this is the best thing that ever happened to Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the best thing that happened to you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Was him getting traded. He basically gets a Super Bowl, like a cut of the loser's share, gets paid more than Brady for last year, makes more money than anybody ever, including Tom Brady, and all he had to do was go to San Francisco, where he's now going to live, become a superstar, and things are okay.
And win four games, or five games.
Five games with them last year.
Hey, Venture, are you now a 49er fan?
I guess they're going to have to be my second team to the Giants now.
I kind of think you've moved on from the Giants.
I think so, too.
No, I love the Giants. Die hard. Forever.
Forever and ever. Hey, Chris Venture, we appreciate the time, man.
Oh, of course. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You
go Gucci.
It.
Let's go.
Go Gucci. Let's go. Hey, so we're talking about quarterbacks and teams that need quarterbacks. I just popped something up on my screen that I've kept up until Matt Modica saw it. And he just looked and he pointed and he gave me a thumbs up.
I'm loving that tweet.
Because the Buffalo Bills.
Let's do it now. Don't tease me.
The Buffalo Bills Twitter account, and they have what, 21-22 in this draft? 22-23?
21-22.
The 21st overall pick and the 22nd overall pick.
They have 2 second round picks. They only have 1 third round pick now. They had multiple. I think they have 2 fourth round picks.
The Buffalo Bills Twitter account tweeted out this, quote, "I could see Sean McDermott falling in love with Baker Mayfield's story."
I want this kid to be really good, and if the Bills have a shot at him, I think the Bills have to take the shot. I'm just so, like I said, Tyrod Taylor has to move on. It's not Tyrod's fault. He never had weapons, but he has deficiencies in his game. I know some people just totally love Tyrod Taylor and all that. I like him. I'm a fan of him, but the Bills don't want him. You know, when you don't want somebody, you have to move on. But Getting Mayfield, that's not the only move you make. You make sure you go out and you get an Allen Robinson. You bring a Sammy back. I don't think that would happen, but who knows. I'm just saying, get me somebody. Get me somebody here that if you're going to have a quarterback, you need, it's a passing league. You need a quarterback. You need receivers. Let's get a tight end here. I've been screaming for a tight end for years. I wanted Gronkowski. I wanted Hernandez that year. We didn't get either.
Yeah, nobody, no. No, I'm sorry. It's blowing the steam comes out of Matt Bodica's ears. It's the best.
I'm gonna have to retweet this now.
All right, now he's officially retweeting for the Buffalo Bills. And it's amazing the Bills fans fall in love how quickly they can with a guy like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, no. Well, Fantasy Exec was right on
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, and this is the one he's planting his flag to. So let's do it. I say, don't talk. Let's do it. And if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm trying to go to Minnesota. Maybe Jacksonville after that. But after those two, if I'm the Browns, like, here, Kirk, just make the, you know, put the numbers down. You come there. They got the first, and they can move down. They can do so many things. I mean, I would want to go to Minnesota. And now they got a new offensive coordinator in Minnesota.
They do indeed. We're going to talk about that next hour with John DeFilippo, the new offensive coordinator in Minnesota, which means the New York Giants may have a new offensive coordinator as well. When we come back, Matt takes a moment off. Maria Marino joins the program. Talk a little NBA waiver wire with you. Stick around. More from FST right after this.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone.
What's going on? Welcome to today's NBA recap. I am Greg Sussman. This is Maria Marino. Waiver wire week 18 coming up now?
Wild. I think so.
This is wild.
It's almost All-Star break.
It's almost the All-Star break. We are 1 week away. The trade deadline has officially passed.
I know.
Which means there's a lot of maneuvering to do on the waiver wire this week.
A lot. Big splash at the trade deadline.
Major splash. Of course, yeah. The biggest splash comes in the form of Cleveland, who completely revamps their team with bringing in pieces like Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance. But for fantasy purposes, I think the biggest piece they bring in and the biggest change to fantasy value could be George Hill. He went from Sacramento, where Sacramento was a rebuilding team. They were considering benching veterans every now and then. Zach Randolph, Vince Carter, and certainly George Hill in order to play their rookies. It makes sense when you're rebuilding. But going over to Cleveland, it looks like George Hill is going to get every chance to start and be a major defender and facilitator for LeBron and the Cavs.
100%. And this move was so huge for the Cavs. I mean, it was really a culmination of things. And the rookie GM of the Cavs, Kobe Altman, basically made it clear yesterday that the team was basically dying a slow death, okay? So this was 100% necessary, but I think the key to this whole Cavs team is LeBron James is the X factor, right? As long as LeBron James is on the team, they have a chance to contend, but it's good for him to have players that fit well around him. George Hill certainly fits into that mold, and I think it's going to work for the most part. I mean, this is going to be a completely new attitude, and I'm really anxious to see how it all pans out. For waiver wire pickups, for sure, I would give a shot to George Hill.
Yeah, I think so too. He's available in over 40% of Yahoo leagues right now, and you're going from a guy that played and then didn't play, then played, then didn't play. Very inconsistent. So a guy that I believe is going to get 25 to 30 minutes a night. Jordan Clarkson's used to coming off the bench. Yeah. I think he's a perfect sixth man along with Rodney Hood to anchor that second unit. And I think George Hill as the starter in Cleveland is a worth a fantasy pickup.
Yeah.
So there
totally.
You go. Yeah. He's not the only point guard that people are going to run after on the waiver wire. As Elfrid Payton was traded away from Orlando to the Phoenix Suns, which opens up time for DJ Augustine. If you watch Maria's NBA recap, DJ Augustine was the bargain of the night last night in DFS, and he's going to be a bargain off the waiver wire for you fantasy players as well. DJ Augustine, now the starter in Orlando, he's absolutely somebody you need to pick up.
Yeah, and what's great about him is he's somebody that I think falls under the radar a lot. He's not somebody that you typically think of, but as you mentioned, had a huge night last night, and I think he's going to continue to have that potential. So you heard it here first. Go out and get this guy while he's available.
Available in over 70% of Yahoo
leagues. There
you go. 35 minutes last night. I believe he had a double-double, too. He was absolutely fantastic. He has winds up with 18 and 9, so right there on the double-double line. DJ Augustine, someone you're going to want to pick up. Finally, for us, make sure, if you're looking at the Knicks, you grab Michael Beasley. With Kristaps Porzingis being out for the year with a torn ACL, Doug McDermott no longer on the team, Michael Beasley's going to get all the minutes he can handle, and we know when he's in the lineup, he is ultimate scoring.
True, and before KP even went down, Michael Beasley was getting a ton of value coming off the bench. He just scores. He's a scoring machine. He can really score from anywhere, and you know, he's not that concerned about playing defense. He wants, you know, if the ball's in his hands, he wants to put it up. And I think Michael Beasley is for sure, you know, somebody that's going to bring a huge return. And, you know, it's not even like he's an okay scorer. Like, at scoring, I believe Michael Beasley is in the elite category.
So there you go. Your top three players to pick up: Michael Beasley, George Hill, and DJ Augustine. Have fun in Week 18. Good luck. We'll see you next weekend. From Maria Marino, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic weekend.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, FST. Fantasy Sports Today is live with you. Matt Modica here. And coming in an hour early, helping us out without CP, the fantasy executive. It's the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg?
Not too much, man. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Are you excited for East Mike Lyon coming up a little bit later on today on the Roto Extras podcast?
Oh, absolutely. It's been eons since I've played, since I've been able to win.
That's awesome. You're gonna get your shot. I'm excited to see Jake versus Matt in that game.
Yeah, I think we did the in studio that one time, but that was it. And you're what?
Yeah, that was
back-to-back.
I am. I've won the last two times I played. I've won, so that's cool.
Well, Mike knows too. I'm always gonna have this. I was the first person to ever go 10 for 10.
There you go. That's pretty damn good.
I thought Jake was gonna come on as the shirtless Tongan today.
I was hoping so, but no, it wasn't to be. So
I don't have enough oil,
Jake. I wanted to bring you on here because we had so much fun talking baseball during Roto Experts yesterday. I want to continue to do that today with some of the guys I mentioned, but I also have some other baseball stuff I wanted to get to, and we also wanted to mention the new offensive coordinator in Minnesota. And you were right, Matt, yesterday morning when you were saying John DeFilippo didn't waste any time, and it was clear to me, Jake. That was a kind of one of these done deal type things. Like, as soon as it was over, he was going to Minnesota. And he did. Like, literally, parade. They met for 10 minutes, and he was announced as the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings yesterday.
I think he was in one of the dog masks, actually. It definitely looked like it was a handshake type of, like, all right, this is going to happen unless something snags at the end. And it makes sense, too, because a lot of people are like, I don't understand why he wouldn't want to go to the Giants. Well, the fact is like, if you're going with Shurmur, Shurmur's still going to be significantly involved with the play calling and the offense. That's why he's talking to the former quarterback coach from Minnesota, which makes a ton of sense.
Love it.
DeFilippo makes a ton of sense for this move, too. It's going to be funny. Not funny, but it's going to be interesting to see how much of this staff is get poached this offseason because he's out. Now you talk about the Reich situation with the Colts, and there's actually even more interest in some of the other fringe ones that still – there's a few coordinator positions still hanging out there, and it's just going to be interesting to see what's left.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you hit the nail on the head, right? The Philly staff's not going to get raided. Your boy Frank Reich could be the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. I like him more than Leslie Frazier, I'll say that much.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it was Evan Silver who tweeted it out that Hugh Jackson ushered DeFilippo out of Cleveland. You know, he didn't need an offensive coordinator. He was that good.
Yeah, and now he's the offensive coordinator running the offense.
I saw that, Matt.
Running the offense here in Minnesota. You're right, Jake. It's now all his offense. And we'll see what Kevin Stefanski winds up as the Giants offensive coordinator. As you mentioned, Jake, me as a Giants fan, I love it. I'm down. I like that the Shermer Stefanski combination. It works for me. If that's what happens and we have James Bencher as defensive coordinator, I'm very, very satisfied with this Giants staff.
No, I think that would make a ton of sense. The thing is, you want Shermer to have somebody where he doesn't give all the control up, but somebody can rely on and not have to look behind, and that makes a ton of sense.
Exactly. And ultimately, they've worked together, and it's a Philly Eagle. It's an Eagle situation. You let the offensive coordinator run the game plan. You call the plays on Sunday. Works for me. We take a break. A little bit more football, whole lot of baseball, and we'll get the Daily Roto sponsored Corey pick of the night at some point. We'll be back.
Skick's sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skick's canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skick's helps fans perform better. Go to Skick's.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skick's.com. Skick's sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
This isn't OAR, but I'll take it. Savage Garden, I like it. FST Fantasy. Jake is mouthing the words. That is awesome. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Jake Seeley hanging out with you here on FST. I missed the OAR because I had the headset off before. Oh, I got it. My bad. All right.
What's the OAR for? Because of the their Russian group?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Jake just texted me something really, really interesting before we get into baseball that I wanted Jake to bring up because I think it's a really interesting point. I'd love to hear Matt's opinion on it too. So Jake, take it away, buddy.
Yeah, so apparently there is a new legislation being proposed in California. It's a bill that they're putting through. It would make it the first state to restrict tackle football before high school, as in it's not allowed to play anywhere. No, it doesn't matter what the school wants to do. It'll be illegal to play tackle football before the age of high school.
Sounds like something California would do. That's all I can tell you. I mean, look, it's going to come to a point if we're going to have football or we're not going to have football. Look, I get it. I understand. Like Jake said the other day, he wouldn't want his kid playing football. People in Texas are going to vehemently disagree with this, and they're going to let their kids play football no matter what. That's like religion out there. We have to try and find a way, number one, to make maybe the helmets maybe even more safety. Even if you got to run around with, say, was it the Mark Kelso helmet back in the day with the bubble helmet kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Something like that. But I don't see football totally going away. And even in the how we try and make it more safe with like the hits and stuff, it's just tough. It's fast. It's violent. That's what it is. Would I let my son play? I probably would. I mean, maybe because I don't have a kid, I can say that, and that's different. But if I have my kid play hockey, he can get hurt playing hockey on the ice. He can get laid out and crack his head on the, you know, even with a helmet. Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things. In baseball, you can get hit with a fastball, and I mean, I don't know. They still allow aluminum bats. I don't understand that. I don't like the government getting too involved in what I can and can't do. I'll say that.
I could have told you that before we started this segment. Jake, how do you think? What do you feel on it?
I'm actually I'm not 100% behind it, but I'm okay with it because we are talking about high school. And I think that, like, my initial thought was, all right, how about middle school? That makes a little bit more sense. But basically, that comes down to JV anyway. And if you're in ninth grade, a lot of times you can play JV anyway. So I think they restricted it to JV and varsity. You know, it's like, what are we really losing here? It's not like we're losing kids' prospects in eighth grade and seventh grade knowing how to play football. It's just less shots. It's less risk. It's less wear and tear by the time you get out of high school, and it's less potential to get hurt. I completely understand it. I don't think there's a problem with it. And what Matt said, you know, Matt knows, because we talked about this on the Frenzy during the football season too, and as I've even said it a million times before, is go back to the shoulder pads we used to have in the 90s. And I know there were still concussions at the time. There's a lot less injuries happening. There's a lot less quarterbacks falling on their shoulders getting hurt because they had bigger shoulder pads. Everybody wants to be slimmer, faster, and all that type of stuff now. Or maybe we can find something technology-wise to have a happy medium there. But I actually don't really have a problem with it because, as Matt said, yeah, I have a nephew right now. I wouldn't want to play a football. I don't want to play a football. I don't want to play a football in high school at this point because, you know, you play baseball, you play hockey, and Matt's right. But, I mean, we're talking about 1 in 100 in the comparison of numbers of people that are, like, getting concussions compared to what's in football all the time, let alone people who – I mean, we're talking about high school players that are dying. When was the last time you heard a baseball player die? Let's be realistic about it. So I understand what Matt said. You could get hurt in any sport. You can fall in basketball. Look at the guy that fell face first, and I'm surprised he didn't – Chris Dunn, right? Concussion?
Sure.
I mean, like, he fell face first and ate the floor. Anything can happen, but it's just the fact in football, it's every single play. It's multiple times in game. There's kids – I have a friend that I was picking up from a game in high school who I picked him up. We were supposed to hang out afterwards. Talking to me in the car, making completely no sense whatsoever, not talking anything about what I'm asking him. I was asking where he wanted to go to food, if we were going to the movies, not responding. He was responding to me, but not what I asked. Come to find out, he got concussed right before the end of the first half in that game. I took him home that night. He came out of the second half. This is the funny part about it. He threw 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half. He's like, it's the best half of the football I've ever played in my life. Maybe I should get concussed more often. But I've seen it firsthand, and I just don't want anybody I know playing football at this point.
I think I'm kind of in the same boat, man. I don't have kids, obviously. I'm not married. I wouldn't want my son playing football. I don't think it will benefit of it.
I get it, but like, go back to Jake's point.
Yeah.
Go back to the bigger shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned with the helmet, maybe it's not aesthetically pleasing when you look at it and stuff, like the helmet with the extra piece. I mean, we've gotten all this technology now. I got to think there's a way to make it better. I mean, maybe everybody wants to look good, you know, like there's... Everybody cares about the persona. They want to sell themselves, this and that. But I think we can make some advances in safety. So, you know, I just can't see outlawing it. And like Jake says, you know, when you get to, say, out of grammar school, first off, I think it's more about age. And there's always going to be that one kid that's, like, way too big for his age. Like, he popped up. But if you try and keep it in, like, age or weight classes... For the younger kids, I don't think it's a bad thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because that's the other thing that I was thinking about, Matt. And it's funny, it was going to be my follow-up point, is that you have a lot of people still in the eighth grade who have hit their growth spurts, and then you have ones that haven't. And, I mean, you've got a huge size difference between the two. Once you get to high school, most of that – there's still some, I understand, but most of those have started to level out, and you don't have to worry about that as much. But I go back to the same thing. I 100% agree with you with the equipment. Go back to David Wright and his Wazoo or whatever that guy's name was from the Flintstones, that helmet that he had on. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it looks stupid, but David Wright had to wear it, and he did for a while. He didn't care that he looked stupid. It was about his safety.
I mean, growing up, after school, I was down at the park in the wintertime. We played tackle, no equipment. And, you know, that was pretty violent looking back on it now. Like, I would think, like, kids today would be like, oh, like, what, you guys did that? And it was, I don't know, it was either playing hockey, you know, football, baseball, whatever. So, look, I'm all for safety. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I think I suffered 3 concussions. I've had stitches in the back of my head. None were football related. I played tackle football. All my friends went to public school and played football. I went to Catholic school, and I was more the hockey guy. But, you know, they loved it. They wanted to do it, you know, and it's hard. I don't think you should outlaw things. Make them safer if you can.
Well, here's one thing I'll say off the top of that, Matt, too, is like let's go. You know what the real solution is? And we don't even have to get rid of tackling, because I did the same thing you did. Just 5 years ago, I was playing pickup tackle football games with friends from church and stuff like that. I stopped playing because there was a few of those aggro bro dudes who got out there. And I'm like, I'm not breaking my ankle over you guys because you're psycho about it. But we played tackle, no pass, no helmets, no anything. Nobody ever smacked heads. Nobody ever hit their head and got concussed and everything like that because we tackled normally. This is what I'll say. Is like, you want to stop football and not go down this road? Because right now, the reason we have to go down this road is because it starts with the parents, it starts with the coaches, and it starts with the players. Stop trying to spear everybody. If you just wrap up tackle now, I'm not saying wrap up tackling is going to eliminate concussions altogether, because again, go back to the Lawrence Taylor days when all they did was wrap up tackle and people still whacked their head. You still need some type of advancement there technology wise, but at the same time, it'd be significantly less if we all stopped trying to juke stick everybody and knock them off their feet and de-cleat them and lead with our helmets.
And here's another thing, just to make another hockey analogy, before helmets became mandatory, there wasn't like all these stick incidents where guys were getting hit in the face. They were wearing no helmets. And, you know, look, everybody should wear a helmet. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to make the point that when they didn't wear helmets, there wasn't these sticking infractions and people, you know, the stick wasn't going up by the head. So, you know, things change as, you know, even when we get safety in there, people get maybe more lazy in other aspects.
There you go. I think it's really, really... it's a really interesting topic. I don't think there is like an easy answer. I think you guys are both describing your thoughts extremely, extremely well. And there just is, there's no right answer here, right?
And, you're also denying people, like, what if they can get that scholarship playing football? What if that's their way to, you know, make it and, you know, get an education? And they don't have to be an NFL player.
Right.
But that's their way to get that
scholarship. Sure. As a seventh grader.
No, but I mean, it's different. It's playing the game on that level, playing with the pads and everything. Look, there shouldn't be, like you said, the eighth grader that's, you know, 250 pounds and he's in the eighth grade going up against these kids that are nowhere near him. He shouldn't be playing in that environment.
Well, right. That's why I think they're doing high school only. That's why I think. That's why I said it. I think it makes a little bit of sense, but I'll keep going back to, if this is your only solution, it kind of makes sense and I'm a little bit behind it. If you want the real solution, I keep going back to what I said. Enough with the I'm going to spear you and knock you off your feet and the highlight plays. Like, I saw them on Instagram when they have those videos going through and it's like one thread that shows like a bunch of highlights. And it was a bunch of highlights of high school players getting de-cleated.
All right. So, all right. There's your football conversation. Let's take a break. Let's talk some baseball when we come back. And we'll chat to bright minds. Very exciting. It's the Fantasy Sports Network. It's FSC.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
FST Fantasy Sports today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Olin Kid, Jake Seeley, Wall Street, Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, has the day off. We have a little baseball to come. Did the Olympic stuff. Do a little on this day in history. I wanted to get into some of the players that we said we were talking about yesterday on Roto Experts. I want to save the guys that were traded for next week with Corey. I think it would be a good hashtag Roto Camp for him. Like, oh, this guy was traded. He'd be like, Evan Liguori was traded. What?
Mr. Ray.
When did this happen? So I want to save that for next week. That was my Corey impression. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. I understand it. This football news before I hit into the baseball, because I have to bring this up to you guys. Jake, the Titans are getting rid of Exotic Smash Mouth.
Oh, thank God. There's nothing exotic about it. The best part about it is, like, this could be the next McVay hire, honestly. So, you know,
Matt's been saying that for a very long time.
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, the fact is if you look at what they could do with this offense, you look at the potential there. And I'm not just talking about Derrick Henry, because I still have, I wrote about it in my rankings article, I still have legitimate concerns about Derrick Henry, because I do think they possibly bring somebody in like a Tariq Cohen or a Chris Thompson type from the draft to be the pass catching complement to him. So I think that he's going to be a little overdrafted. But that being said, the first thing they're talking about is being more aggressive in that offense. You don't have Mariota. You don't have Henry. You don't have Corey Davis and all the weapons they have in Rashard Matthews and Delanie Walker, and play this exotic smash mouth nonsense. It's the best thing we could see potentially for this, for Mariota and everybody else involved, to get more aggressive next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You put in there Matt LaFleur, who Matt was chomping at the bit for, to get a head coaching opportunity, much like DeFilippo gets the chance to totally be in charge of the offense after coming from a place where he wasn't, where he certainly helped out and did his thing, but he never had a chance to totally be in charge. He now gets that and said, listen, we're opening up the playbook. We're going to give a chance to Marcus Mariota to be special, and we'll see if that happens, Matt.
Yeah, and I agree with Jake on the Derrick Henry take. It seemed like the last regime never really trusted him on third downs. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And I think, look, you got Mariota. He's your franchise. I agree with Corey in the fact that maybe this guy will never truly be healthy throughout an NFL season. But as I say with the Bills, I'm saying with the Titans, especially if they got Corey Davis, we got glimpses of what he's going to do. So move to the future. Open it up. You still got Delanie Walker there, who's like the ageless wonder. You got a Corey Davis type. You know, this team should be a much more explosive team on offense.
Absolutely. I think there's one more football note. Yeah, the last football note I wanted to get to, Matt. Do you believe there's any truth? I don't know if it's truth. It's more ridiculousness than anything else. That Hollywood's calling
for Gronk. I mean, I don't know, but he'd get a couple of those, like, you know, he'd be great in, like, a fraternity-type movie, you know, like
sure.
Animal House, you know, 2020, but that would be so ridiculous. I couldn't even think what goes on there. I don't know about Hollywood calling, but I think in all seriousness, he suffered a lot of injuries, and the point I keep always going back to with the guys nowadays is they've made money. Unless you've blown all this money that you made, and supposedly Gronk has all his football money, at some point, you got to be saying, hey, life after football, if you have back injuries and stuff like that, you want to be able to walk, too. You don't want to be like 42 and kind of like a cripple and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or bring people down, but don't you want to? If you've sacrificed your body in your 20s and you made the money and you've won championships, at some point, you got to say, hey, maybe it is time to get out. I leave it at 50. I do think that there is some validity to it.
I agree.
I don't think it's 100%, but I think it could go either way.
I totally agree, Jake. I believe these retirement rumors. Like, I don't think it's fake with a guy like Rob Gronkowski, because he's beat up. And why should he just stay beat up the rest of his life, right? Like, he's got plenty of money. Go do your thing. I don't know if it's Hollywood, but I think the retirement rumors are legit.
I think they're legit, too. It's just the Hollywood thing. I'm not buying it at all, because honestly, like somebody said it yesterday, I can't remember who the actress was, but they're referencing an actress that worked with him on the set of one of the things. And she said that he had one line, and he was the one person that had to do retake after retake after retake after retake for one freaking line. And she said, oh, he was more interested in looking at all the hot girls on the set, which, I mean, it's Gronkowski. Does that really surprise you? But his acting chops are like one line, himself in Entourage, an animated character on Family Guy. I don't think he's going to turn into The Rock and all of a sudden have a successful career, because The Rock had wrestling behind him. There's a reason he was able to seamlessly transition. And he's one of the best speakers on the mic of all time, seamlessly transition into acting. And even at the beginning of The Rock's career, he just wasn't the best. He's gotten a lot better, and he's still not amazing to this point. So I don't see that for Gronkowski. And as you well know, Greg, I don't see him also either going to wrestling, because we know WWE. WWE is not clearing Daniel Bryan. They're not going to be clearing Gronkowski to start wrestling full time.
Yeah, and to the point with The Rock, The Rock has done a, you know, great transition and stuff, but he's getting oversaturated right now. Like, pull back a little from The Rock. He's going to be in every single movie. I just wanted to get that out there.
He's on my shelf, though. Did you see that, Greg?
I'm pro Rock. I like him and stuff. I think he's good, but, you know, it gets to a point where.
Yeah, he's in everything. He's everywhere. Literally everywhere. But if, you know, he's doing well, making his money.
Yes.
I'm not telling him not to make money.
Sure.
Did you also catch over, like, Greg, did you catch the reference over top of it, too? It's Rock and then Rocco's Modern Life. Is it right above him?
Rock and no, Rocco. I did not. I did not get that.
You could care less.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, so I didn't get the reference. Okay. When it comes to baseball, it's now February whatever.
9th.
Uh-huh. I knew that I was going to say because who knows when it's going to play.
If you're listening on February 12th, it's actually now February 11th.
February 11th is a good day.
In your region.
The 11th is a good day. There's still nothing going on. It's the freaking end of February, middle of February. Nothing's happening.
Well, so, you know what? I was just thinking about that, Greg, this morning, and as much as we joke and lambaste and ridicule the Mets, I mean, at this point, it wasn't Moustakas, but maybe a little bit of kudos for them going, like, they're the one team that all they're left is, like, maybe a pitching piece out there. They got their Jay Bruce. They got their Todd Frazier. And they're pretty much, like I said, maybe a small piece in pitching just to, you know, give them some depth in case of the injuries, which are going to happen. But for everybody else that's out there with J.D. Martinez and all the rest that are still sitting out there, the Mets went and got what was needed at a cheap discount. And, you know, we'd love to say as Mets fans to spend more, but for how the market is, I mean, they got theirs taken care of.
See, my problem is I would rather have just gone, got Moustakas, got a guy who can be a defender at third base as well. Look, Todd Frazier, I have nothing against Frazier. You know, he's a Jersey boy, seems like a fun guy and all that. But, and even Jay Bruce. Last year what Jay Bruce did with the Mets, I said early on in the season, when he does slump, I'm not going to say a word because he was so good for us. I don't know. At least, even, you know what I would like to see? At least offer one of these, offer like a J.D. Martinez. That, you know, say, look, 1 year at the max. The max, at, you know. Or these guys that aren't getting these offers that they want or whatever. And just like try and get something like that. You know, because maybe some of these guys will take the 1 year deal now. So, you know what? I'll go back next year and try and cash out.
I mean, that might have worked well with Moustakas. I mean, he wants a huge contract and he could do, you know, he's popped off last year and could potentially. That's a good point, Matt. But I think the biggest thing, you got to remember, Alderson keeps saying this over and over and over again. He likes the position flexibility. You got to remember, Todd Frazier can play first base. And I'm not saying that makes look, I'm not saying I wanted Moustakas from day one as a Mets fan. But he likes that he can move to first base and then Cabrera can move back to third and you can shift things. He loves that position flexibility, which is kind of frustrating.
No, it's fun. And it's not really Sandy's fault because he's not in charge of the money.
Sure.
He's allocated the money to work with. It's just it's the Wilpons. My hatred grows by every day.
I'm sorry. So you guys like J.D. Martinez want to get paid like all free agents have always gotten paid. Sounds like he doesn't. I don't know if he doesn't want the Red Sox. He wants more money. I don't know what the deal is there. But I've kind of said all along. I think he winds up back with the Diamondbacks. You heard a rumor last night that may be the case.
Yeah. And well, the fact is J.D. Martinez needs to understand what he is. Like, I think the biggest problem is he and his agent are overestimating the market. Not only overestimating the market in a year where the teams have looked like they're all saying, you know what, we're going to knock off this nonsense with a 7-8 year contract and $30 million a year like Stanton got. Like, we were gonna, like, enough is enough. We realize we've been making mistakes for too long, and it's a collective unit. And then for the fact of all that collusion and stuff, there was teams starting to do it last year as well. This is just the year that it finally all happened at the same time. At the same time, J.D. Martinez is over 30 years old. In fact, he's always getting hurt, and he wants over 5 years, $125 million. He wants more than the 5 years, $125 million. You have to understand what the market is and what you offer. I wouldn't, as a Mets fan, as to what Matt said, I would have been on for Martinez for like a 1 year, hey, come here and prove it deal.
Right.
But I, as a Mets fan, I don't want him for 5 years, $125 million, because I know those last 2 years are probably going to be dead weight.
Yeah, no, I mean, or give like a, offer like a Cespedes-type deal, like they did with him, something like that. Look, Boris is, to me, he's always overestimated it, and there's always been that one schmuck owner that stepped in and...
Usually the learners.
Yeah, that usually stepped in. Well, in all fairness, the Scherzer deal worked out very well.
Scherzer deal's worked out fantastic.
You know, and even if it's, you know...
And you know what? To be fair, the Jason Worth deal didn't work out too terribly either.
It didn't. But I'll go back to Kevin Millward. And I remember when he got 5 years, $75 million. And this is going back a ways. And I was like, what does this guy have? Like, what is he putting in? Is he putting something in the drink or something? I was like, he's got like voodoo. Because, I mean, And this is even before we got like really sabermetrically deep and stuff. But, you know, teams get desperate and they feel like some of these guys, that they have to spend some money and they blow it. And it's not about spending money. It's about spending money correctly. Anybody can spend money. That's an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, all right. You can always spend money. Always spend money. It's just how are you going to spend it, obviously. More baseball on this day in history. Nando DeFino coming up as well. A lot more to go. Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
FST Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Olin Kid, Jake Seeley, Wall Street, Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, has the day off. We have a lot of baseball to come. Did the Olympic stuff. Did a little on this day in history. I wanted to get into some of the players that we said we were talking about yesterday on Roto Experts. I want to save the guys that were traded for next week with Corey. I think it would be a good hashtag Roto Camp for him. Like, oh, this guy was traded. He'd be like, Evan Liguori was traded. What?
Mr. Ray.
Mr. What? Okay, when did this happen? So I want to save that for next week. That was my Corey impression. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. I understand it. This football news before I hit into baseball, because I have to bring this up to you guys. Jake, the Titans are getting rid of Exotic Smash Mouth.
Oh, thank God. There's nothing exotic about it. The best part about it is, like, this could be the next McVay hire, honestly. So, you know,
Matt's been saying that for a very long time.
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, the fact is if you look at what they could do with this offense, you look at the potential there. And I'm not just talking about Derrick Henry, because I still have, I wrote about it in my rankings article, I still have legitimate concerns about Derrick Henry, because I do think they possibly bring somebody in like a Tariq Cohen or a Chris Thompson type from the draft to be the pass-catching complement to him. So I think that he's going to be a little overdrafted. But that being said, the first thing they're talking about is being more aggressive in that offense. You don't have Mariota. You don't have Henry. You don't have Corey Davis and all the weapons they have in Rashard Matthews and Delanie Walker, and play this exotic Smash Mouth nonsense. It's the best thing we could see potentially for this, for Mariota and everybody else involved, to get more aggressive next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You put in there Matt LaFleur, who Matt was chomping at the bit for, to get a head coaching opportunity, much like DeFilippo gets a chance to totally be in charge of the offense after coming from a place where he wasn't, where he certainly helped out and did his thing, but he never had a chance to totally be in charge. He now gets that and said, listen, we're opening up the playbook. We're going to give a chance to Marcus Mariota to be special, and we'll see if that happens, Matt.
Yeah, and I agree with Jake on the Derrick Henry take. It seemed like the last regime never really trusted him on third downs. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And I think, look, you got Mariota. He's your franchise. I agree with Corey in the fact that maybe this guy will never truly be healthy throughout an NFL season. But as I say with the Bills, I say with the Titans, especially if they got Corey Davis, we got glimpses of what he's going to do. So move to the future. Open it up. You still got Delanie Walker there, who's like the ageless wonder. You got a Corey Davis type. You know, this team should be a much more explosive team on offense.
Absolutely. I think there's one more football note. Yeah, the last football note I wanted to get to, Matt. Do you believe there's any truth? I don't know if it's truth. It's more ridiculousness than anything else. That Hollywood's calling
for Gronk. I mean, I don't know, but he'd get a couple of those, like, you know, he'd be great in like a fraternity type movie, you know, like
sure.
Animal House, you know, 2020, but that would be so ridiculous. I couldn't even think what goes on there. I don't know about Hollywood Colon, but I think in all seriousness, he suffered a lot of injuries. And the point I keep always going back to with the guys nowadays, they've made money. Unless you've blown all this money that you made, and supposedly Gronk has all his football money, at some point, you got to be saying, hey, life after football, if you have back injuries and stuff like that, you want to be able to walk, too. You don't want to be like 42 and kind of like a cripple and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or bring people down, but don't you want to? If you've sacrificed your body in your 20s and you made the money and you've won championships, at some point you got to say, hey, maybe it is time to get out. I leave it at 50. I do think that there is some validity to it.
I agree.
I don't think it's 100%, but I think it could go either way.
I totally agree, Jake. I believe these retirement rumors. Like, I don't think it's fake with a guy like Rob Gronkowski, because he's beat up. And why should he just stay beat up the rest of his life, right? Like, he's got plenty of money. Go do your thing. I don't know if it's Hollywood, but I think the retirement rumors are legit.
I think they're legit, too. It's just the Hollywood thing. I'm not buying it at all, because honestly, like somebody said it yesterday, I can't remember who the actress was, but they're referencing an actress that worked with him on the set of one of the things. And she said that he had one line, and he was the one person that had to do retake after retake after retake after retake for one freaking line. And she said, oh, he was more interested in looking at all the hot girls on the set, which, I mean, it's Gronkowski. Does that really surprise you? But his acting chops are like one line, himself in Entourage, an animated character on Family Guy. I don't think he's going to turn into The Rock and all of a sudden have a successful career, because The Rock had wrestling behind him. There's a reason he was able to seamlessly transition, and he's one of the best speakers on the mic of all time, seamlessly transition into acting. And even at the beginning of The Rock's career, he just wasn't the best. He's gotten a lot better, and he's still not amazing to this point. So I don't see that from Gronkowski. And as you well know, Greg, I don't see him also either going to wrestling, because we know WWE. WWE is not clearing Daniel Bryan. They're not going to be clearing Gronkowski to start wrestling full time.
Yeah, and to the point with The Rock, The Rock has done a great transition and stuff, but he's getting oversaturated right now. Like, pull back a little from The Rock. He doesn't have to be in every single movie. I just wanted to get that out there.
He's on my shelf, though. Did you see that, Greg?
I'm pro-Rock. I like him and stuff. I think he's good, but it gets to a point where...
Yeah, he's in everything. He's everywhere. Literally everywhere. But, he's doing well. He's making his money.
Yes.
I'm not telling him not to make money.
Sure.
Did you also catch over, like with Greg, did you catch the reference over top of it too? It's Rock and then Rocco's Modern Life. Is it right above him?
Rock and no, Rocco. I did not. I did not get that.
You could care less.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, so I didn't get the reference. Okay. When it comes to baseball, it's now February whatever.
9th.
Uh-huh. I knew that what I was going to say. Who knows when it's going to play?
Okay. If you're listening on February 12th, it's actually now February 11th.
February 11th is a good day.
In your region.
The 11th is a good day. There's still nothing going on. It's the freaking end of February, middle of February. Nothing's happening.
Well, so, you know what? I was just thinking about that, Greg, this morning. And as much as we joke and lambaste and ridicule the Mets, I mean, at this point, it wasn't Moustakas, but maybe a little bit of kudos for them going, like, they're the one team that all they're left is, like, maybe a pitching piece out there. They got their Jay Bruce. They got their Todd Frazier. And they're pretty much, like I said, maybe a small piece in pitching just to, give them some depth in case of the injuries, which are going to happen. But for everybody else that's out there with J.D. Martinez and all the rest that are still sitting out there, the Mets went and got what was needed at a cheap discount. And, we'd love to say as Mets fans to spend more, but for how the market is, I mean, they got theirs taken care of.
See, my problem is I would rather have just gone, got Moustakas, got a guy who can be a defender at third base as well. Look, Todd Frazier, I have nothing against Frazier. He's a Jersey boy. He seems like a fun guy and all that. And even Jay Bruce. Last year what Jay Bruce did with the Mets, I said early on in the season, when he does slump, I'm not going to say a word because he was so good for us. I don't know. At least even, what I'd like to see? At least offer one of these, offer like a J.D. Martinez. That, say, look, 1 year at the max. The max, Or these guys that aren't getting these offers that they want or whatever. And just, try and get something like that. Because maybe some of these guys will take the one-year deal now. Say, you know what? I'll go back next year and try and cash out.
I mean, that might have worked well with Moustakas. I mean, he wants a huge contract, and he could do, you know, he's popped off last year and could potentially, that's a good point, Matt. But I think the biggest thing, you got to remember, Alderson keeps saying this over and over and over again. He likes the position flexibility. You got to remember, Todd Frazier can play first base. And I'm not saying that makes I wanted Moustakas from day one as a Mets fan. But he likes that he can move to first base, and then Cabrera can move back to third, and you can shift things. He loves that position flexibility, which is kind of frustrating.
No, it's right. And it's not really Sandy's fault, because he's not in charge of the money.
Sure.
He's allocated the money to work with. It's just it's the Wilpons. My hatred grows by every day.
I'm sorry. So you guys like J.D. Martinez want to get paid like all free agents have always gotten paid. Sounds like he doesn't. I don't know if he doesn't want the Red Sox. He wants more money. I don't know what the deal is there. But I've kind of said all along, I think he winds up back with the Diamondbacks. You heard a rumor last night that may be the case.
Yeah. And well, the fact is, J.D. Martinez needs to understand what he is. Like, I think the biggest problem is he and his agent are overestimating the market. Not only are they overestimating the market in a year where the teams have looked like they're all saying, you know what, we're going to knock off this nonsense with a 7-8 year contract and $30 million a year, like Stanton got. Like, enough is enough. We realize we've been making mistakes for too long, and it's a collective unit. And then for the fact of all that collusion and stuff, there was teams starting to do it last year as well. This is just the year that it finally all happened at the same time. At the same time, J.D. Martinez is over 30 years old. In fact, he's always getting hurt, and he wants over 5 years, $125 million. He wants more than the 5 years, $125 million. You have to understand what the market is and what you offer. I wouldn't, as a Mets fan, as to what Matt said, I would have been on for Martinez for like a 1 year, hey, come here and prove it deal.
Right.
But I, as a Mets fan, I don't want him for 5 years, $125 million, because I know those last 2 years are probably going to be dead weight.
Yeah, no, I mean, or give like a, offer like a Cespedes-type deal, like they did with him, something like that. Look, Boris is, to me, he's always overestimated it, and there's always been that one schmuck owner that stepped in and...
Usually the learners.
Yeah, that usually stepped in. Well, in all fairness, the Scherzer deal worked out very well.
Scherzer deal's worked out fantastic.
You know, right? And even if it's, you know...
And you know what? To be fair, the Jason Worth deal didn't work out too terribly either.
It didn't. But I'll go back to Kevin Millward. And I remember when he got 5 years, $75 million. And this is going back a ways. And I was like, what does this guy have? Like, what is he putting in? Is he putting something in the drink or something? I was like, he's got like voodoo. Because, I mean, and this is even before we got like really sabermetrically deep and stuff. But, you know, teams get desperate and they feel like some of these guys, they have to spend some money and they blow it. And it's not about spending money. It's about spending money correctly. Anybody can spend money. That's an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You can always spend money. Always spend money. It's just how you gonna spend it, obviously. More baseball on this day in history. Nando DeFino coming up as well. A lot more to go. Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
With you here on FST Fantasy Sports Today. Remember, you got to check out Fantasy Factor. It's a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. These three guys, Matt Modica, properly, in my opinion, properly grouped together. Luis Castillo, Luke Weaver, and Jose Barrios. You have said, Jake, you got Luis Castillo 1, you got Luke Weaver probably 3rd. That puts Barrios 2nd. Now, much like his teammate Byron Buxton, people have been talking about Jose Barrios for freaking years. And last year, in his true first full season in the majors, had a nice little year. You know, I mean, a lot of ups and downs, but a nice little year, went 14-8. pitched 145 innings or so in the at the major league level, had an under 4 ERA, walked way too many guys, almost 3 per 9. Strikeouts were 8.5 or so, a little bit down from his minor league numbers, but up from where he was in 2016. The fit was nice. The exit was brutal. What is the outlook on Jose Berríos?
I don't think you're going to look at inconsistency. I was so happy last year. I traded him away right after that. There was a little brief start there where he had like 8 and 8 strikeouts, and then he had a mediocre game and then another 8 innings and 8 strikeouts, and that was, I remember, it was against the White Sox. And I traded him right after that. The next 3 games were pretty, they weren't abysmal, but they were terrible. Then he bounced back, and then he was terrible. Then he bounced back. Like, he's all over the map. He's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The potential with him is enormous, and maybe he takes that step next year, like, or this year, and makes that next step forward and becomes a top 15, 20 pitcher, maybe even an SP1, on it, because his ability and his talent is there. You asked the question about Castillo, to be a top 12 pitcher. The problem is, the consistency is just not. He's all over the map. Is the walks, if he can get those consistently under control, you notice how many times I'm saying consistently here, but that's his problem, is he needs to get the walks under control every single outing. He gets in his own head way too often, and he kind of loses the game there. Is if you see a lot of times when people get on base, the walks start piling up, the hits start piling up. If he can find a way, maybe a pitching manager, somebody can get to him, he can be. He has elite level talent. I just don't know that we ever see it. So I'm drafting him with that in mind, to understand that, you know what, it's going to be a bumpy ride, most likely.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier about the home versus away splits, and on my site, Satan Baseball, I give you that, and then I break down, which I think is something you had to look at, like Jake said about the inconsistencies. The first 8 starts, the next 8 starts, and then his final 9 game starts. Pretty much you got to look at stuff. He came out blazing, like a 25% K rate. It looked great. The ERA was only like, it was under 270, but the xFIP was much higher. So, I mean, there were some signs there as well. In his next 8 starts, the strikeout percentage dropped. I mean, that took a nosedive. The ERA went, you know, sky high. But his left on base percentage also catered. And in the final 9 starts, he did get the swing and miss back, but the walks went up. So there's a lot of imperfections here. As Jake said, when he does reach that, when that next step is complete, you're going to have a hell of a pitcher here. It may come as early as 2018. It's not that I don't like him. I'm just a little concerned that it's not all going to happen this year.
Okay. And listen, how old is he still?
He's still like 24, 25.
He is 23 years old.
23.
He'll be 24. And this is much like the Buxton conversation from yesterday, that this guy can just keep growing and just keep doing his thing. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, he'll be 20. He'll be 24 in May. So, yeah. I mean, you gotta. We're getting spoiled by these rookies.
You're absolutely right.
And stuff. Not everybody, you know, is gonna be Mike Trout or Bryce Harper.
So. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, more baseball talk, but probably not names that you know, like Luke Weaver and Jose Berríos and Luis Castillo. You're probably gonna get a lot of names you've never heard of. Because coming up next, Nando DeFino takes my spot. I'll be back for the Roto Experts podcast with these guys in an hour. Have a good one, everybody. I'll see you then. Nando DeFino's up next.